I have a number of scriptures I'd like to get through, so maybe that'll minimize what I say. So I'd like to start in Psalms 127 this morning. And I would like to say in beginning here that I've come in contact with a number of people that for various reasons take a stand of not celebrating Christmas. And I use that word because that's something we can identify with. I don't know that what would be a better word to use or a better terminology. I realize its roots is coming from Roman Catholicism, and they have a worship system that I don't fellowship. They take many positions that I feel like is not correct. And I realize that's where that term comes from. It comes from Christ Mass. But I want us to focus on something more important than maybe the ancestry of a word or the inflection that could come from using that term. I don't want you to ever think that I am a supporter of a system of worship that is not acceptable in God, because I really am not. But I want us to think today of the importance and the value of Christ coming into this world and how special that was for mankind. I'd like to begin here in Psalms 127 in verse 3. He says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Children are an heritage of the Lord. I want us all to keep that in mind. My mother used to say about her own father, when asked about his children, or maybe in comments about his children, he would say, "I wouldn't take $1 million for any one of them, but I wouldn't give a dime for another just like them." And so children are very, very valuable. And it's, you know, anytime I hear of a young couple that has a loving, wholesome atmosphere, young couples particularly that are endeavoring to please the Lord and they're devoted to one another, and when I hear that they're going to have a child, it's like, yes, that's what it's all about. I like hearing that kind of news. And if it's their second child or their third child, I enjoy hearing that news too. So, however many it's, I just want you to know that it is valuable for children to come into this world. Jeremiah told the people when they were going into captivity, he said, amongst other things, he said, "I want you to prepare, raise, plant gardens, build houses, you go on with life just like you weren't captives. Pray for the peace of your city. Give your children in marriage and raise up children." And he said, just keep your heritage alive. And I want us to know how valuable it is to keep our home life alive, to pass that on from one generation to the next generation. The psalmist says, "Children are an heritage of the Lord." I'd like to go now to Psalms 139. And notice something the psalmist says here down about verse 15. He's talking about himself in particular and the miraculous event that happens when a child is formed. He says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." He's talking about a little child being formed where we can't see it. And today I know they have all these techniques and abilities to be able to tell us, you know, it almost looks like a photograph sometimes when they take these pictures of these unborn children. And he says, "My substance was hid, was not hid from thee." When the moment that there is a child that has been initiated, it's coming, he knows about us. And it is such a miraculous thing that all of our members were curiously wrought. It's mysterious to us. How does it happen? He says in verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Before it was even discernible of what my appearance would be and all of that. You know, the Lord knows about us and He's interested in us. And when my children arrived, it was so important for me to look and see that they all had their fingers and their toes. And there's such a wonderful blessing to have a newborn child in your hands and in your arm. In Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, another little foundational verse here. let's go there. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, I believe, is where I want to look. In the 5th verse, he says, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." God is behind the miraculous function of us as humanity being able to produce a child. You know, I look on the little children, and I was thinking about Declan this morning and how that, you know, I don't know what his parents has not told me. I think he looks like this one. But I look on these children and I think, you know, maybe he looks like his grandpa a little bit. Maybe there's some faith, you know, but it's all miraculous, isn't it? I had somebody tell me one time, he's talking to me about my boys, and he said, "You marked them pretty good." Well, he thought that they favored me to some extent. You know, they could tell who they belonged to. I don't know how this all, it's mysterious how it happens, but isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a blessing to see this? You know, in our home with all the boys, it was such a exciting thing to have a granddaughter, the first grandchild we had. That's just extra special, isn't it? That first grandchild, and for it to be a granddaughter after raising four boys, my wife was pretty ecstatic, I'll tell you. but I want us to now shift our eyes to something that is beyond my feeling of being rewarded or feeling blessed or all of my anticipation. If one of my children, just recently, I was told there's got another grandchild on the way, and it's like, oh yes, I like to hear that. But you know, as these kind of things come to our mind, and we feel all enthused in our finite little human minds, there was a child that was born. That it was more, the level of importance, the level of blessedness is much higher than what I can experience. You know, I really like the idea. I like the idea of being a father. Someone asked me recently about when we found out that we were going to have children, and the first one, and then the next one, and the next one that came along, and they asked me the question, was I ever, apprehensive? Now, what are we going to do? Everyone, it was like, yes, I'm glad to have another one coming our way. And here we are in thinking about the Christ child being born. So I want us to really focus in this morning of how wonderful that was for us as mankind to have Christ born into this world. I'd like for us to turn to Matthew, the second chapter, and we're going to read beginning in verse 1. So turn with us to Matthew chapter 2. I would like to begin reading in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written of by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. in verse 11, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So they brought a special gift many times, especially for the first child. We give the parents to be special gifts. And later on, if another child comes, we like to give them something for the new baby. We like to give them something to make it a special time. And here, this was very special. They brought some very costly gifts to give. But I want us to notice verse 10. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." There was no star that was shining in the night the nights my children were born. Although I thought every one of them was very special, there was no star that hovered over the room where they were born. There was no fanfare. There was no wise men that came from the east. There was nothing extraordinary other than the entrance of a new life into this world. But this was special. This was unique. There was a star that came and hovered over I've been noticing in the sky. I'm not a sky watcher by any means, but this is pretty noteworthy. I go out early in the morning before daylight, and there's a real bright something up in the sky, kind of in the southeast. When I look out I don't know exactly, some of y'all might be an expert, you might know what I'm seeing, but for a star to lead, that's pretty noteworthy, a star to come and hover over this special little child. I just want us to realize Jesus was very, very special and how important it is. I'd like to go now to Matthew 1 and just look at one verse. Matthew 1 and verse 20, it says, But while he thought on these things, this was when Joseph had got the word that the woman that he was espoused to marry was going to have a child. It says in verse 20, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Never got that visitation in my life. Didn't happen with any. I had four sons born in our home, and no angel ever appeared to me and said anything like that. I thought they were all special when they came, but this was extra special. There was an angel that visited Joseph and said, this child is of God. This child is, its importance is way beyond. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't allow the appearance of what it might look like. Don't allow it to be a distraction. You go right ahead. This is something that is of God. You know, it said that children are a heritage of the Lord, right? I believe all children are a heritage of the Lord, but this one went beyond all of that. There was an angel that came and spoke to Joseph and let him know that this was extra special. So I'd like to turn now to Luke, the first chapter. And I want us to begin reading in verse 26. He says, In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So here the angel, there was not only an angel that visited Joseph, but there was an angel that visited Mary. Two separate occurrences. They weren't together. I believe this was distinct. This is trying for us today. It emphasizes the importance of this child's birth coming into the world. Let's skip down to verse 41. And it says here, And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Here again we have another manifestation of God's Holy Spirit witnessing to mortal mankind that this child is going to be something very unique. This is something that is of a high level of importance. So we could read on down here. He says, And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of these things which were told her from the Lord. So Jesus was not only a fulfillment of prophecy, but when he came into this world, when his birth was being pronounced, if it was in the early stages of when Jesus was being formed in the lowest parts of the earth, when his members were being curiously wrought, God's witness through the angels and through his Holy Spirit was witnessing to those that were in the close proximity in relationship to Jesus and his mother. They were witnessing to them that this is of God. Yes, all children are special. They're special to me. It's special to the family and all, but this was extra special. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 76, he says this, And thou, child, and this is really, it's Zechariah speaking about his own son, John the Baptist. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. John was another one that was ordained by God to fill a special place. And Zechariah here was saying that you, my little child, you're going to be the one that goes and prepares the way for Jesus, for him to come and be able to preach the gospel to the world. In Luke chapter 2, begin in verse 9, he says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. This was the shepherds that was out with their sheep. And it says, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So here the angel came down to some lowly shepherds, minding their own business, tending their sheep, and they began to speak to him and said, there's born this day in the city of David a Savior that'll save save his people from their sins. I remember the phone call I made when one of our sons were born. It's kind of a given that the mother's mother wants to be there when the child is born. And so I called my mother-in-law, and the way things happened, I literally had not had a chance to call her before our son was born this time. And when I called her and told her that he was already here, and I was happy to tell her that, and she says, "Why didn't you call me? She wanted to be there." Anyway, we worked through our difficulties there. She wasn't mad at me, not for very long. But there's some angels came to shepherds and said, there's been a child born. You know, there's probably other children born that night. There was probably, the angels didn't say, there's been 20 children born in Bethlehem tonight. It didn't say that. Just said, there's been a Savior born in Bethlehem. This is one that has been promised. And it wasn't just one, it was a host. Let's read a little more. In Luke 2, verse 25, he said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." So here's someone that's living a careful life, and he's living in anticipation of the very event that the shepherds heard about. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple." You know what that means? That he was willing to be led of the Spirit. "And he came by the Spirit unto the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him... up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Witness after witness after witness that this was the Christ. This was an extraordinary event. It was the event of all, this was the child of all ages that came in to the world. This was the one that was going to usher in a plan of salvation where it said, what did the angel say to the shepherds? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and he shall be a sign unto you. You shall find him a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This is good tidings. This is the good news. This is child came into the world to pay the price for salvation, where you can be redeemed, where I can be redeemed, where we can call on the name of our Savior and have our sins forgiven. And then down in verse 36, we see, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So she came in and saw him. She came in and witnessed the presence of the Lord in that place, recognizing this is the Savior. This is what we've been hoping for. This is what we're anticipating. I want you to realize how valuable it is to recognize the importance of Jesus coming into this world. You know, many in our world, not just in this nation, but across the globe, have capitalized on people's willingness to spend money for gifts at Christmas time. They've commercialized and capitalized on all the financial opportunities and have missed the real point. They've not really focused on what it's all about. And, you know, I just have this conflict with people that say, I'm not going to celebrate Christmas. It's a leftover from Roman Catholicism. This is the conflict I have. This birth was very special. It was extraordinary beyond belief. And you know, for us to take a day, one day, and set it aside and say, this is a day that we're going to set aside to recognize that Jesus came in as a little child, as a little baby. There was witness after witness after witness that this was of God. It wasn't just man's doings. There's children that's born into this world that people feel like it's a burden to them. It's such a sad thing. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The children ought to come into a loving home atmosphere. That's where they ought to come. And so many don't get that blessing in our world today. But this was beyond all of that. This was ordained of God. This was something that was all of these witnesses of the Holy Spirit moving on people, the angels speaking. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. And today, I think it's good for us to take a day and say, this is a day that Jesus was born. The chances of it being December 25th on our calendar is pretty slim. But folks, I tell you, I don't really care what day it was. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad Jesus came. I'm glad for all of the witnesses that this was the Son of God. And he came to prepare the way for us. And it is very noteworthy that we recognize Jesus wasn't just a man. He came to be a man, but he did not come just as any other ordinary man. This was the Son of God. I think about the words of the song, "Because He Lives." And one verse says, "How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy that he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance we can face uncertain days because he lives." You and I can face the uncertainty of the future because Jesus came into this world, because he was ordained to be the Savior of the world. You know, when a little child gets here, we begin to make observations about whether he looks like this parent or that parent, or he has his mama's eyes or his daddy's hair or whatever it is. We make all of those assumptions at probably way too early of age to be able to tell anything. They just pretty much all look like babies to me, but they're still special, all right? But this baby was incredibly special. He was incredibly important, not to just those at this time. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have known Mary or Elizabeth or Joseph? How many times did they tell the story? They told it enough that Matthew and Luke knew it for sure. But they were the only two that we have with a record like this. How many times did they... Oh, I've told about our children being born and the events, things that happened during their childhood. And more than... My mother told me stories about her childhood and you know, I never knew my grandfather because he passed several years before I was born, but I feel like I knew him because of the memories that my mother made. And she recounted all of those things. And you think about how many years it was. Well, my mother was next door neighbor to Mary, and she told me the whole story. You think how rich that was. And we used to go, my mother told or my father told about going to the temple that day when Zacharias came out and he couldn't talk and he made all kinds of signs to let us know that he'd seen an angel in there. And you know, those things went on for several generations, the eyewitness accounts. And today we can be an eyewitness account holder, if you will, of the salvation that can happen because of this child that came into our world to pay the price for my salvation, where we can be free. This is special, and I believe we ought to honor a day that he came into this world. You pray for me.